Welcome to the Naina Radio Experience.
Thank you for listening. If you have been listening to the previous episodes, you can ask me anything. I'm not really sure why a lot of you don't ask me anything. Maybe because the audience obviously currently is really small. And of course, I think blogging isn't really a big deal. Even now in India, I think it's this bubble that we are kind of living in only in the metro cities. So I can imagine that there probably aren't all those many questions. But I can't imagine that there aren't any questions. And I tend to look at one other podcast for questions that might be relevant to the Indian audience as well. I also encourage you to look at it. It's called, the name of the brand is Forcard, Forcard. And they have a YouTube channel where their podcast or video series is called A Drink with James. James Nord is one of the founders of Forcard, which is a platform for bloggers to come and register, and they connect them with brands, and hopefully you get a collaboration that you can work with. It's a brand collaboration. They do a series as well, and James answers questions that other bloggers, aspiring bloggers, any other questions that you might have about social media, etc. So sometimes I do look at that, but in most cases, the content there is more tailored for an American blogger or someone in the US or maybe even in Europe for that matter. As I have said many times in the past, the Indian market works very, very differently. Blogging is still not a mainstream career option in India. There are people who come and tell me, oh, you're one of the first bloggers in India and you've been doing it for such a long time and you're successful and you've made a career out of it, etc. Yeah, it's kind of partly true, but my mainstay still is photography. I am a professional photographer. That is where I make most of my revenue and profits from. Blogging is a nice side gig to have. I do make money when I blog, but 90% of the stuff that you see on my blog is still not client work. These are not all brand collaborations. I have been saying this since forever. There was a time in between where I thought, if I'm not getting any client work, then maybe I shouldn't blog. But that's not how a blog works. You blog. And regardless of whether you're getting paid for it or not, the idea was always to share what I'm doing. So the goal behind my blog always was, what am I doing? What have I experienced? Where did I travel? What did I eat? What do I think about life in general? What are the things that bother me on a daily basis? What are the things that make me happy? The idea behind the blog was to share this. And I got into it because initially I received a lot of help by looking at other people who were blogging. There weren't many bloggers in India when I started, obviously, 2004, hello. But there were a lot of people abroad who used to blog. And I used to look at their blogs and I used to read what they had to say. And I realized that a lot of people were sharing information for free. I didn't need a mentor in India or a photographer in India to tell me how the industry works here. Although that would have been insanely helpful as well. And I could just look at these blogs, or I could Google the questions that I had, and if I spent enough time doing research online, I could find those answers. Of course, it is different than when you have someone that you can actually talk to and ask them questions and how they did it, compared to if you find information on the internet. And these days in 2017, especially, it is a lot harder to go online and search for something and find good information within the first one or two pages. In those days, I remember I used to go down 25, 30, 40, 40 search result pages and do a lot of research. Now it's an unending abyss. I cannot imagine what it must be like, especially when you're starting out, when you don't even know what questions to ask. So not just related to blogging, you can ask me anything. I try not to be a preacher in the sense saying that, okay, this is how it's done. I'm always saying, maybe you could look at it like this. The way I want to do this podcast or my blog is to tell you how I have done whatever it is I do right now, how I got here, So if you have any pertinent questions, you want to know my journey, you want to know what my education is, you want to know how to deal with a particular client assignment, you want to look at stuff on my blog and then come back to me and ask me very specifically, okay, how did you work with that brand? As long as it's not extremely specific, because, you know, there are confidentiality agreements with brands, which obviously I will not violate. But anything else, if you want, yeah, ask me. You can ask me in so many ways. So that was the part of what the idea behind the podcast and the blog and this whole deal of me being online is. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about in this podcast specifically was blogging platforms, in the sense, blogger group platforms. For example, as I mentioned, Fohrcard, fohrcard.com. You should check them out. Although it is more towards international brands and international influencers, I do have a profile there. I still haven't gotten any work from there as such because, again, I'm in India. I have interacted with a couple of brands who were curious, and I reached out to them as well, and they said that, yes, they will look at it if they have anything related to India. But I haven't had any paid work that has come in from there. But I think it's a nice place to have a profile on, especially if you have been around for a while and if you have a good blog and you're a professional blogger. Similarly, in India, we have a ton of platforms. I am not particularly sure which ones work, which ones don't, especially for a blogger like me. I focus on specific clients. I don't say yes to everything. I say yes to maybe 1 in 9 inquiries, 1 in 10 inquiries, if that. The problem with most of these platforms, the way I see it, is that they are treating blogging like an off-the-shelf service, which it is not. Most of the inquiries that I get, I am there on a couple of these platforms. Most of the inquiries that I get are, you've been invited to be a part of this campaign, and it clearly says that they want you to tweet with a certain hashtag and participate in a contest or something like that, and they'll pay you like 5 rupees per tweet or 10 rupees per tweet, or once I've seen 100 rupees per tweet. The thing is that that's treating it like it's the same problem that is with trending a hashtag. I don't see the value there for the brand. I don't see the value in participating in something like that as a blogger myself. And seriously, 5 rupees a tweet, I mean, like, oh my God, like, who, what the hell are you doing? If you're a blogger who's doing that, I kind of understand. I don't know, maybe you need the money. Maybe you think it's a good way to make money. But trust me, it's not. Not in the long run, it's not. You might say that, oh, I'll do 100 tweets and you'll still make like, what, $500. What? That's nothing. You are not only devaluing your work, you're also devaluing your audience. Because at the end of the day, the audience is a commodity. That's what you're selling as a blogger. That's what I'm selling to my client brands and saying, hey, you know, this is the kind of people that follow me. This is the profile of those people. You're selling them for $5. That's really disrespectful in my opinion. That's not something I would do. Again, I keep saying that these are the things that I talk about how I would do them. You don't necessarily have to follow what I do, or you might have a different opinion, which is great. If you have a podcast, please tell me. I really want to learn and understand how these things work. Because working solo, it just, you know, you sometimes you're in a bubble. You're in your own bubble. You don't really know what everyone else is doing. Because even though I meet other bloggers, we try not to talk about work because it invariably turns into, we don't really want to talk about how much money, what we did for free. So it's because it's a competitive kind of thing. So there isn't really a lot of conversation happening around. The only person I actually talk about work and brands and how it's going, etc., is with my own sister, Akanksha Redu, who's also a blogger. Check out her blog, akanksharedu.com. But apart from that, there is no one else that I actually talk about what happens in blogging. Oh, wait, there is. I also talk once in a while to Saffron Trail, Nandita Iyer, who's in Bangalore. She's a food blogger. Her website is saffrontrail.com, SaffronTrail.com. You should check it out. She has a huge, massive following. She gets more page views than my blog does. But then in that sense, she's been also doing it for a while. She's quite well known all over India, etc. So these are the few people that I actually talk about when it comes to work, what's happening in the market, what are the latest kinds of assignments that are happening, it wouldn't make sense to pitch to a brand, for example. But apart from that, it's like I don't really know what's happening. I try to do it the way I would like to do it. But there are times where I look at someone else who does an assignment, I'm like, I did not think of that approach. It can be done like that as well. So these, coming back to the blogger group platforms, I honestly don't know what to call them. One of the initial ones that I signed up on was this one called Get Evangelized. I have recently asked them to remove my account from there because I don't think I'm ready for that kind of platform. The other one that I'm on is blogmint.com. The thing is that even with Get Evangelized and with Blogmint, although they have a platform, I didn't get any assignments from the platform per se. Like, it wasn't the client or the brand that was getting in touch with me. It was still Blogmint or Get Evangelized who wrote to me and said that, hey, you know, we have a brand and they're interested in working with certain bloggers and we've recommended your name and how much would you charge for something like this, or this is what the client's budget is. What are you willing to do in this? So it has still been a very personalized approach. Now, normally what happens is that it's not really normal. I mean, this is still a upcoming industry, so it's really hard to say what's normal and what's not. But what happens is that you have a person in the middle. So it could be an agency, a PR agency, or a digital agency. And they recommend your name to the client. Okay, because they're like, okay, this person's blog and this person's brand will fit with your brand. Their audience is probably your target audience as well. And they, for that service, that brand is already their client. You know, if it's a PR agency, that client already is paying that PR agency on a retainer. So they are already making their money there. Whatever money I make, what I charge is what I make. Now, there are some agencies who are trying to be just blogging managers, blogger managers. So what they are saying is that, we'll get you clients and we will take a certain percentage of the money that you make. Now, I have no problems with that. You are doing business. It's business. I just don't want to see it. You know, I don't want to. I charge X. Whether you quote 2X to the client. First of all, in India, there is no clarity on that. You should clearly tell the client that, okay, the blogger is quoted this much. These are our fees. So there are no standards here. Abroad, for example, there is a standard that I don't know the percentage, but it's very clearly mentioned that these are the percentages that the agency charges. So I don't really want to know. I charge this much money. I want that much money. And after that, what you want to charge on top of that, that's fine. As long as you're not misrepresenting me to the client. As long as you're not telling the client, oh, Naina charges actually 2X, not X. So because of that, I'm not really sure how... I haven't been able to, or actually haven't even pursued such a relationship. I had spoken to a couple of people a few years ago about this on becoming my managers, you know, like celebrity managers, because there's a lot of influx of inquiries that were coming in and I wasn't really being able to handle it, nor was I being able to negotiate properly. So we had spoken about it and they had said that they'd take a 10% commission. And I had said that, look, this is what I want. You want to add your 10% commission in that? I need to get this much money. Unfortunately, that never really worked out because I think 3-4 years ago, it was still quite low. Blogging really wasn't this big thing. So these platforms are trying to kind of do that, but I think it's not really there. The kind of permissions they need from connecting your Facebook account or connecting your Instagram account. So usually even Forecard, for example, they need access to your profiles, right? Online, you connect it to your Google Analytics, you connect it to Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, yeah. So from that, what they get is the number of impressions, the number of followers, the number of page views. They don't ask for permissions like wanting access to your Facebook friends list. Why is that a permission that's required? So this is the problem that I had with Get Evangelized. They recently did an overhaul of their entire platform and I think it looked a lot better. They were trying to add more detail, but I was not comfortable giving away details like access to my friends list. For what? Like, it's my Facebook page. Business page is primarily where I share branded content. I do share it on my personal profile also, but I was just not comfortable with sharing my friends list. I mean, I don't see why they need to know that, who those friends are. And then actually the number of permissions they required on pretty much every platform is where I was like, okay, maybe I'm not comfortable with this. With Blogmint, they have one person who calls me up and says that, oh, we have this client, they want you to do this, please let me know your rates, these are the dates. So she actually gets in touch with me personally. There's no there's no automated system which says, oh yeah, this client has invited you and you have to write to them and things like that. So there is still a person there in the middle. So that's a very PR agency kind of approach. Maybe eventually they will learn all this and they will automate it. But for now, and I get emails pretty much on a weekly or twice a month. I get an email saying that we have this new platform. Please register as a blogger. We'll get you clients and things like that. And I do not sign up on them. The only reason I had signed up on Get Evangelized and Blogmint because I kind of knew them. They were really nice to me. The communication was amazing. And they were one of the first people to kind of start doing that. There are other platforms like Indie Blogger. I'm not an indie blogger. I don't even, it's like this thing that a lot of people, I try to do my own thing and I don't say yes to all kinds of work. So it matters to me that the client gets in touch with me or even if the agency gets in touch with me, there is a direct connection. So far, PR agencies have been fulfilling the role of being the middle person, middleman in trying to explain to clients how blogging works. But there are all these other businesses that are trying to fill that, bridge that gap because I think it is a gap. Until the old guard goes, we need another party in our court to kind of explain to the client how this works. I think a lot of bloggers don't really focus on that part of the business to explain how the client will get ROI, how can things be measured, what is it that they're selling, which is a problem because firstly, it is still something that's new in India. Also, traditionally, how it has worked in India, it's different from how it has worked abroad. So it's going to take some more time to kind of figure it out. So such agencies in the middle who say that it's a platform where bloggers can come and sign up. A lot of bloggers who sign up to these platforms are people who actually do tweets for 100 rupees per tweet, which is not the kind of target audience that I want to work with. I don't want to work with such clients and I don't want my audience to ever come across anything like that I have done. So for me, that's the bigger thing to consider. As a brand, I need to be able to have direct access to the client and not just be a number to be, checked off a list that, okay, this blog, 100 blogs, tuck. No, Naina.co is not that blog. I don't want to be that blog. I understand there might be economies of volume because some bloggers might be making a lot of regular money, smaller chunks of money over a period of time. My thing is more I want to work with a meaningful brand, a meaningful campaign, somewhere where I can actually add value. So that kind of stuff I have not yet seen on a platform yet. There is another one that I recently signed up to. It's called Niche.co, Niche.co. It was originally independent, but then it was bought over by Twitter. So Twitter is now trying to do this thing of getting creatives to connect with brands and do work for them. Their model is not as cut and paste where, they say, okay, connect all your profiles. We want all these details. This is the commission we charge, etc. It's more personalized, which is again what Blogmint also does. But again, what do I know? I don't know where all this is going. Forecard itself is quite new, even though it is in New York, and I don't really know how they actually connect brands with bloggers, and they do work specifically in the American market, and I don't think they do hundreds of collaborations every month. They are doing collaborations, and I do see those collaborations, and some of them are pretty cool. But that kind of thing coming into India, it's going to take a while. I would say maybe another couple of years. It's not happening before that. Till then, we have to do this on our own. We have to connect with clients. We have to tell them, give them case studies of, how this works. How is it beneficial to other brands in the same category or in the same vertical or in a different industry? It lies on us. These platforms, I think, will take some time to understand how this actually works. They'll try to refine how it is suitable for the brand as well as for the blogger, and they make money from that. So figuring that equation out, I think, is going to take some time. It's still early days, and I don't really want to be on a platform and get my ass kicked because I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how they're representing me to the client. I've had cases where they've gone and said yes to the client without even checking with me, and then they come back to me and then they realize that, okay, I charge a certain amount of money or that the brand is not a fit for me. So I say no, and then they say that, oh, but we've already said yes to the client. And I'm like, well, that's too bad. What does that even mean? Why would you do that? So I've had more than a handful of such cases happen to me. And these are the people who actually, they probably did it because they thought that I would be on board and they were trying to get it to work. But I'm suspicious, and I don't know, they might be agencies that tell the client that, okay, Naina's on board, and then might say that, oh, now she's no longer on board, but we have these five other bloggers very close to the project date. And then the client thinks that I'm the asshole, you know. I don't know, maybe that is happening, I have no idea. And I try not to think about that, because, you know, after a point, what all can you control? You do what you do the best you can do, you work hard, you meet people, you do the whole networking business thing, you do your work well, etc. And really just leave the rest. You cannot control what people think about you. You can't control why someone wants to work with you or doesn't want to work with you. You can't control other people's business practices. If there is a client who has heard something about me and says that, oh, we will never work with Naina because XYZ, they've never even met me. In a way, that's kind of good riddance. Because if they assume such things about people in general, that's a huge red flag. So I used to really worry about all this in the early days, and oh my god, what do they think about me? They think I'm, you know, I'm an asshole, they think I'm like rude, or they think that I am not at all flexible. And now I'm like, well, they've never met me, they can think pretty much whatever they want to think about me. I have no control over that. I don't think about people who think about me. I try not to. It's a daily practice. Let me remind you, it's not an easy thing to do. If you figured out the code and the magic word to make this work, please tell me. But it's a daily practice where I try to focus on doing my thing. There was a time in between where I was also worried about, oh my god, that blogger did that. They worked with that luxury brand and I know they didn't get paid. But the audience doesn't know that. The audience thinks that luxury brand is working with these bloggers. And I should be like, oh my god, you know, instead of disclosing that it's a paid assignment, we should also start disclosing that this is an assignment that was done for free. But again, the idea is to come back to me and focus on me and the things that I will do and not do. And like I said, daily practice, I think about how it benefits my brand in the long run. I think about how it benefits my peace of mind in the long run, how the brand will perceive me or my value in the long run. It's all a long run game. In the short run, you might do an assignment where you're getting a lot of money and it might not fit with your brand, but that also affects the perception of what your audience sees you as. They might be like, oh my god, suddenly so much brand talking, and now suddenly, you know, just for the money, whatever. That's one of the reasons I don't photograph weddings anymore, because the money was like amazing. The money was amazing. But after every time I photographed a wedding and came home, I would not stop bitching about it. I would not stop talking about it. The anecdotes were unending and they were mostly horrifying. Like a bride once put me up in a hotel room. It called hotel, definition of hotel just changed for me, where the window was broken and it was basically showing the next room, which was like arm's length across. I could have gone into the next room and there were men sitting and drinking and smoking and playing cards there. And they expected me to sleep in that room for the night so that I would be fresh enough to go next morning and shoot the entire day of the wedding. I have had such horrendous experiences and I used to crib about it so much that I decided that I don't think this is something that I can do. It was really hard to take that call because, well, the money was amazing, but no, it's not worth it in the long run. Wasn't for me. I can make great images, I know that, but I cannot do it. I have tried to get back into it right now as well. This year I was thinking maybe I'll give it a shot. Maybe I'll do 2-hour events or 3-hour events and that's it. I will not do the whole thing where, you know, the function takes from morning till evening or from early morning 3 a.m. till whatever time. And I was like, I won't do that. I'll do only 2-hour, 3-hour events like mehndi or the sangeet or the reception or just the couple shoot. But maybe I'll do that. But full weddings, no, I cannot do that. I just cannot do that. Like, not happening. And the market has also changed in the last 2 years. It's no longer that, oh, there are these just 10 photographers that you can hire. There are hundreds of them now. And I really don't want to compete with that kind of pressure. So this is, yeah, I mean, I'm, again, focus in 2017 is to meet people and to focus on myself. I will try not to look at what other bloggers are doing. I will try not to look at what other campaigns and other brands are doing. I'm going to try and focus on doing the kind of work that I have always wanted to do. And with a lot of help from so many people in the middle, like a lot of PR agencies bring work to me regularly. There are clients who get in touch with me regularly. I work with them every 6 to 12 months. My goal is mainly just one big assignment in a month and then a little bit stuff here and there. Go to an event, post an Instagram photo, talk about something else, do my fragrance of the month column, which reminds me, this month's column I still need to edit. I've shot the photos, etc. It's Chloe, by the way. Fleur de Parfum. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. I love French, the language. I love the British accent though. I know that's a bit of trivia, but yeah, that's pretty much it what I wanted to talk about today. You let me know what you guys think of platforms like Blogmint and Forecard. Definitely check out Drink with James. It's on YouTube. He talks about a lot of, you know, what to do on Instagram, how to blog, guest blogging, this, that, and the other. It's pretty cool. Except the fact that he makes me want to drink booze every time I see that. It's called A Drink with James, and he literally has a drink in front of him every time. They also do interviews sometimes, so definitely check that part out. It's quite cool. There, I don't know of any other blogging-related podcasts, per se, or video series for as such. In India, especially, I don't really know who's doing it. If they talk specifically about the blogging industry, please tell me. I'm really curious to know who is talking about the blogging industry or even the photography industry in India. Again, there are lots of American ones, but I haven't heard of any in India. Even if there are particular episodes that talk about blogging or photography, please tell me. Please leave a comment. I would love to go and listen to what they're doing and maybe get ideas on what more I should talk about. And yeah, ask me anything. So that's it for now. Thank you for listening. This was the 38th episode of the Naina Redhu Experience. Bye-bye. Until next time.